And we're back on the Refs Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan. I'm Brad Klein. Happy you could join us here on 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. We're tapping into the Brinker's Jewelers Hotline with Scott Agnes from Fieldhouse Files, our friend covering all things Pacers and Fever here on WREF. Scott, how we doing?
Hey, Brad, doing all right. Things about to kick off here up in Indianapolis, so it's going to be a fun time here with the WNBA All-Star Weekend.
It certainly will, but probably not as fun if the news earlier today was, a little bit different, because Caitlin Clark, it was announced earlier today with a groin injury that she suffered in the final game of the first half of the WNBA season. She will be withheld from the All-Star Game and the three-point contest. What's your instant reaction to this? It seems like it's what's best for the Fever, but certainly not what's best for the fans, for Caitlin herself, for the league, etc.
Yeah, given what we know, I think this is absolutely the right call. And my initial reaction was, in a good way, this is a selfish move. But then it's like, no, not at all. She is hurt. She literally just needs to take care of herself. Versus last year, she wanted the rest, right? We talked so much about how the schedule was brutal, and she just looked forward to going away for a week, and as she did in Mexico, and getting rest. While she referenced getting rest in the quote, her body just isn't right, and it hasn't been all season, Brett. And so that, to me, has to be the number one priority, both for herself and for the team. This team has championship, not just aspirations, but plans. Well, they're not going to get there if you're getting this version of Caitlin, and it's not of her fault. It's her body cannot get healthy. And so I didn't like how quickly they brought her back this last time. And you know, these things are certainly connected, from a quad strain to a groin to the other. Her body is just broken down to the extent that we know, which makes me wonder what else there is, right? And that's a big reason so many people want to talk about her shooting and how it's off. Well, yeah, if you can't feel your legs, if you can't power off your legs, things are going to be off. And shooters, much like golfers even, depend on pinpoint accuracy. And so when things aren't aligned, as they clearly are not, she's going to be out. But for the broader sense, you're right. This is a substantial disappointment, Brad, for Indy sports fans. First of all, 1 month after Tyrese suffers an injury, it was supposed to be Indy showcase. It was supposed to be a massive WNBA weekend. This definitely deflates it a bit, but I have no doubt Indy will still crush.
Again, Caitlin Clark is out for the All-Star Game this upcoming weekend, and also for the three-point contest. She was obviously supposed to be, meant to be, the focal point, as she always is whenever she laces up, whether that be in a game or a showcase, etc. Scott Agnes from Fieldhouse Files talking to us about it right here on WREF, the Brinker's Jewelers Hotline. Brinker's Jewelers can be found on the corner of Green River Road and the Lloyd Expressway, an Evansville tradition since 1972. That little green box from Brinker's Jewelers. Also find them online at BrinkersJewelers.com. I'm going to get more towards the All-Star Game later on, but I do want to ask you what this means for the Fever and Caitlin Clark in a basketball sense, in the regular season sense, in the second half. How long do you expect Clark to be out after this re-aggravation of her groin injury?
Yeah, that we just don't know yet. I think a lot of it will be dependent on how well she responds to rest and treatment here. Here's the other reality, and this is something the W has to address, is when you're making this weekend now a showcased event, Brad, right? Like, you're highlighting it, you're getting millions of viewers of ESPN, and you're demanding of your players to make appearances and all this. Consider the fact the Fever are coming off a back-to-back here. Out of town, they get back here overnight, so Thursday morning. Some of them were already at events at 8 a.m. For people like Caitlin, who is going to compete, so let's take Kelsey Mitchell, Leah Boston. They have Friday obligations, Saturday obligations, Sunday's practice. There is zero break, which is outrageous. And so, to the larger point here, I would be surprised if Caitlin does not miss more time. I hope for her sake that she demands to miss more time here. Even though I know, obviously, fans and media alike, we all want her back. We want to see what this Fever potential can be, but I would be surprised if she doesn't miss at least a week coming out of break, even though it's, again, not a break.
I remember her initial injury, this groin earlier in the year, and it feels like all throughout this season She just hasn't been right, to your point earlier. But I remember it was just before a game against the Mystics, and they had relocated the game to try to accommodate a bigger crowd, and ultimately Caitlin Clark was not going to be playing in it, and people spent a boatload of money on a ticket that ultimately plummeted to pennies on the dollar on the get-in price day of. So I'm asking you now, with that in mind, we saw it was tangible earlier in the season. We know how important Caitlin Clark is to the W, but how self-sustaining is All-Star Weekend, the three-point contest, the game itself, for WNBA fans without Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to it. Obviously, last year, with her being it got the largest rating in league history. I think like 3.4 million viewers, whereas ordinarily, Brad, rough estimates, I think it's like 500,000. Mm. So it did like 6x the number, at least, of what it was doing. Now, Caitlin will be around. She's going to have a busy weekend nonetheless. She already said she planned to be at CBA negotiations for the players as they have conversations with the league. That's a big talking point. That's probably an interview by itself about what to expect. But in short, it means the players don't have a binding contract with the league next year, and that's something they have to hit the negotiating table and are trying to get all the issues they want hammered out. But she'll be at the three-point contest. You can believe she'll be wearing a Nike outfit or Prada, and will probably be courtside there, supportive, and making sure Indy does well. She wants Indy to succeed in this, obviously. It's a big reason why she was participating in it. She wanted her first three-point contest originally here to be in Indianapolis, and then she'll be there Saturday. But you're gonna take a hit. I haven't looked at ticket prices yet, but I bet they're 25% of what they were about earlier in the day before this news got out, even though we all knew it was kind of trending very clearly this way. But this is why the WNBA needs to get a handle on so many different things, from scheduling, from back-to-backs. And I think the number one issue is something I hope to address is officiating. This is not Caitlin, just specific. Obviously, it pertains to her because she is a superstar. But, Brad, it's remarkable how many individuals, high-profile individuals in the league, have made comments, from Becky Hammond, the Las Vegas Aces coach, to Stephanie White, Fever front office. And I mean, there's 5-6 different people that have willingly spoken out saying, this is getting bad, the physicality is bad, and the consistency of a whistle is bad, to which you don't know what to expect or what you're going to get. And so that's something that needs to be productive, both out of the weekend, I think their feelings are very clear, but also heading into next year. And how do you address it? That's for the league to figure out.
You know, Scott, I want to go back to something you were talking about earlier, and to your point, it would probably be worth a whole interview, but I do want to ask you about it now while we have you, the CBA talks, and it's all happening over All-Star Weekend. Caitlin Clark will be there, despite not lacing up for the All-Star game or the three-point contest, and also despite not being a player rep for the Fever, but she's still going to be there, and she deserves to be, with how popular she's been and how successful she's been for a league that's surging in popularity. Right now, the dark cloud that's kind of hovering over these talks is a potential work stoppage. I think that would be almost a death sentence for the popularity and the surge of this league. You can't stop playing the moment the game and the league gets popular. How do we avoid that? What actually has to happen in these talks?
Yeah, I think the number one factor, obviously, is the money. And they see the rising popularity of the league, the viewership, the record TV ratings, and money that will be coming in beginning next season with new partners, with Amazon, with NBC and such. And so the simplistic answer here is the players want a larger share. They say, hey, look, without us, you have nothing. And so we want to be better compensated. Why do we have a in-season cup, the Commissioner's Cup, where all the players earn, $40,000 bonus? Caitlin's rookie deal is like maybe half or twice that, like $73,000, $80,000. And that's for playing a 44-game regular season. And so let's throw out Caitlin, because she's obviously an anomaly. Like LeBron, the league will never, and the team will never, be able to fully pay her true value. But let's take a typical player like a Leah Boston, for example, right? Three-time All-Star, two-time starter. How do you justifiably compensate a player like that? There's so many issues in play here, from women's health to media obligations to all those sorts of things. But one of my, among the many things that I think needs to be focused on is the scheduling, right, and how that is handled. I think I know this is selfish, but I think also trying to get reporters back into the locker room, this is something the Players Association doesn't want. But what they're missing here is those outside of the top two or three players, then their stories would become known and such. Otherwise, you just have two players coming to the podium. That's a little bit selfish on my part. But in the grand scheme of things, the players want a bigger share of the pie. They want all better treatment because they see this pie growing and they want their share.
Again, Scott Agnes here on WREF talking about the WNBA All-Star Weekend. Caitlin Clark will not be a participant either in the game or the three-point contest, but there still will be Fever representation at Cambridge Fieldhouse. To your point, Aaliyah Boston named an All-Star for the third time in her decorated career, Kelsey Mitchell as well. What should the Fever fans expect from them? Because they've quickly emerged as some of the great stars in the league, almost in the shadow of Caitlin Clark. And in a way, it's good that Caitlin won't be playing because I feel like maybe some more attention gets towards.
Nope, I'll cut you off right there. Nope.
I'm trying to make something out of nothing. Come on now. But there is a lot of talent out there that we don't get to talk about all that much. Aaliyah Boston, Kelsey Mitchell being two names in there as well.
For sure. But here's the argument I would make. There will be people that won't watch the game purely because Caitlin's not out there. And so my larger point here is she brings. Obviously, a lot of them have big fan bases and such. And the greatest thing we've seen is a lot of these college followings have transitioned with them to the W. But the biggest argument is fans will come in for Caitlin and leave supporters of Aaliyah Boston, Kelsey Mitchell, the Fever, the WNBA as a whole. She's the lightning rod that brings them in. And then I think you can really other groups. But the one thing I'd like to see the WNBA and its fans transition away from is how you feel like some feel like they need to be supportive of the whole league and, you know, this. And that. It's like, remember, like, NBA, you have one team. You like your team or you like a player. I think so much of it needs to get away from the goodwill nature and bring in the competitiveness.
Sure.
We need some rivalries. We need some fun. We need some good, healthy fun. And battles and such. And so that's one of the many things I'd like to see ramped up here. But you're right, yes, it will be great to see Aaliyah Boston. Kelsey Mitchell's a player lost because we don't have enough words right now because of what Caitlin Clark and her injury and All-Stars. But Kelsey Mitchell's led him in scoring in all but one game over the last month.
Yeah.
She has been on an incredible tear. And, yes, she's elevated her game, but she has done this in the past. It just hasn't gotten the level of attention that it normally gets. That should get now there's way more eyeballs on this Fever team and such. But I have no doubt this will be a fun weekend in Indianapolis. You got local, Jackie Young, who's from Indiana. She's going to go back to her high school and do a deal there and such. So there are a lot of fun and creative stories that will come out of this weekend. Aaliyah Boston launching a podcast herself. No, make no mistake, Caitlin Clark is the show, and she will definitely be missed on the court.
I hear you. Scott Agnes here from Fieldhouse Files. Check him out on social media, his newsletter, Substack, talking all things Fever and Pacers. Let's talk about the Pacers in Summer League. Look, no one's really worried about, who's going to win the Summer League. Everyone wants to know who emerges from the Summer League. Now, Johnny Furphy stole the show with that crazy dunk that's going to be on SportsCenter for a very long time, but who's really stuck out from a basketball sense? In other words, who could help the NBA Pacers from the Summer League Pacers? Who do you see as a contributor?
Yeah, I think Johnny Furphy's the first one, obviously, and seeing him in person, just got back from Vegas here this morning, and the most notable thing is Furphy's growth from physicality standpoint. He's probably grew a couple of inches. He's certainly filled out his frame, gaining over 20 pounds of muscle. And what was positive too, Brad, is we saw several of those agile and athletic dunks. And sometimes you worry, do you lose some of that when you gain some weight in a good way? And no, not at all. And that's the encouraging thing from the Pacers' standpoint. I think we've seen some bright spots from the rookies and Cam Jones, Talen Pierre as well. It's asking a lot for rookies to come in and make an impact right away. I don't necessarily expect that. I think we've seen Quentin Jackson, and we know what he is as a two-way player. I think he'll probably be depended on throughout some of next season when you have your natural injuries or wear and tear situations, right, and they're already weaker in the backcourt. And in the front court, it's going to be very interesting to see how this center by committee plays out as they have four centers, two of them coming off Achilles injuries. And does Tony Bradley make the roster? He has his deal was not waived going into next season, but it is also not guaranteed. So right. he still has a lot to play for. But, yeah, at Summer League, mostly, Brad, I'm watching to make sure your second-year guys need to dominate and look like they know exactly what they're doing, playing confidently. And I think all three two-way players plus Johnny Furby proved that here in this last week.
All right, I've got one more question for you, Scott. Really appreciate your time and your insight. How'd you do in Vegas? I mean, did you roll the dice, and how'd you do with the dice, and what was going on there in that department?
No dice, just blackjack for me, and not ideal. Let's just put it that way.
Not ideal? Oh, come on. It's so simple. All you have to do is count to 21. You can't do that?
Yeah, but they're counting to 21 as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Scott, really, really appreciate you taking the time. As always, your insight on the Pacers and the Fever, invaluable to the show. Thank you so much, and can't wait to do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Brad.
You got it. With that, we take a step aside, but don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan on WREF 97.7 FM. The Ref, always the right call.